You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
Yeah.
Hello, how the hell are you?
I like to touch myself.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Are we live?
1, 2, 3,
are we
four.
Live?
There we go, we're on.
Could you be the most beautiful man in the world?
Okay.
I think you are.
Before we begin, we have a guest this week. We want you to introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
So, hi, my name is Stuart Griffin, and I work as a broadcast assistant / researcher on the Today FM Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show.
I feel like Stu's on blind date,
the opposition.
And I would choose you.
Would you?
I'm not the opposition. We're all friends in this
building. You won't be able to see me, you see. You'd hear my voice and you'd think that ad. Remember the old ad? It's me, the guy from the bear. And then you'd see me and you'd say, that's not his voice.
Which ad is that?
Do you remember? I don't remember years ago there was an ad on TV for, I think it was a phone company or something like that, and then your man is like a really good looking guy and your one is looking at him and she gives her number, and then next thing they're just there and she sees him and he goes, "How are you, Kate? It's me, the guy from the bear." And next thing she's just like, here.
Can I just begin by saying Stu sounds absolutely fantastic. You can see that you work on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show. There's confidence behind you. You're a talkative man.
Talkative man, yeah. Sometimes it's trying to get me to stop talking.
I've got it.
Do you have it?
Okay, do you have it?
East Digiphone. Maybe they meant East.
There we go. East at Digiphone, yeah.
I'll hold this open here now and make sure this is recording.
It's amazing.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it, yeah. Stand in line until you think you have the time to spend
evening with me. They're in a very fancy restaurant.
Yeah, there's no talking, just eyes glancing at each other across the distance.
Oh, a guy is just taking the woman he's looking at. She passed him, holding hands in hand, dropped her number.
Hey, kid, it's me, the guy from the bar. No, honestly, it is. Hello?
Now, all speakeasy customers can send and receive text messages.
It's about the power of text messaging, you see.
Oh,
what a great ad.
Because he looked very sexy.
He looked sexy, tall, and rugged.
And she just dropped the number in his back pocket.
Yeah.
While she was holding the hand of another man, she goes, "This is the guy from me."
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes... And he goes,
wait for it. By saying
something stupid like, "Hey, you kid, it's me, the guy from the bar." No, honestly, it is.
That's all it is.
Now, there's been a couple of videos with the breakfast show I've done, and that's exactly what people have said in the comments. Oh my God, it's just like that ad. They see me and then they're like, they don't think my voice matches my face.
I think it does. Do you know?
I don't know.
Do you mind if I just take one of these?
Go for it. Are you sponsored? Do we have a brand new sponsor in this podcast?
Are they illegal?
Look, these are good. This is good shit I have right here. It's Benlin Day and Night. I went into Boots there and I said, look, feeling very fluey. But the best thing about this is, because I take a few different tablets, you know, vitamins and stuff for my spots and all that stuff. I often forget what I've taken or haven't. This is like I'm a 7-year-old senile man.
I got confused though. Do you know the way? Yeah, they're different pills at different times of the day.
Yeah. Okay.
I took an evening one in the morning before.
Oh, that'll make you sleepy.
Oh, you crazy thing.
I know.
You should do the little, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I should. But then when I do that, I've given up. I actually suggested I was going to do that before. And Claire just looked at me and goes, "You are such a hypochondriac." Is chondriac or chondriac?
Chondriac.
Chondriac, yeah.
Chondriac. And I go, I can't do it. But it says, now, lads, it says morning. That's fine. We don't want to take it in the morning.
Okay.
Then midday, afternoon, nighttime. I would put midday and afternoon around the same time.
Yeah.
So afternoon, then this means I'll take one at 7 or 8, 12, 4 and an 8 or 9. But the afternoon isn't 4 o'clock. I put afternoon.
No, that's
evening.
You know, just take about 10 of them in the morning.
Take what that you want.
Just take 10. And
right, boys,
I always find it very weird, people that take pills but they don't wash it down with water.
Yeah.
Do you know those?
I have a mate back home, Cunnamore. He actually used to chew them.
Oh no.
He'd just be there talking to you, and he'd be grinding them. I'd be like,
chewing
what?
Like paracetamol.
Yeah, he'd just be there chewing them. He never used water to brush his teeth.
Oh,
what did he do?
If you Google that, you're actually not meant to use water, supposedly, just the toothpaste, and it gets in properly, and then it remains in your mouth afterwards. When
do you know
swallow
what?
It.
My dad told me there a few months ago, don't rinse your mouth out afterwards. Keep the toothpaste in there.
Because if you spit it out, you're getting rid of the protection.
I got an electric toothbrush for Christmas. I know Nathan's dying to get into some questions
here. Yeah, right.
He's gone into it. I haven't seen this side of him. When you're out on the floor, they're having the crack and stuff. And here he's sitting, he's staring at me. There's
to
a
be
real,
very
like,
present
hard-hitting.
Right,
I want to tell you about my electric toothbrush.
Oh, go for it, sorry. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah?
I would highly recommend. You just have to get your teeth cleaned yesterday, Nathan.
Yeah.
Get an electric toothbrush. It is phenomenal. There's a different type of clean you feel on your teeth afterwards.
Like a polish.
It feels like it's polish. And you don't have to press hard. You glide it over the teeth. My only problem is, though, I think there must be something wrong with my charger, because it says it gives you 2 weeks on a full charge. I left it charging for 6 hours one day. I've only got about 4 brushes out of it.
But how long do you brush your teeth for? Half an hour. Bleeding from the gums.
Sorry, Nathan. Nathan is sitting upright.
I'm ready for the
general
election debate here.
I'm emotional. I'm emotional doing this podcast because, Stu, you've been working in this building for how long?
About 4 years altogether, yeah.
And you are leaving us at the end of this month.
Leaving at the end of the month, yeah. That's it. The time has come. You know, the grown-up business, got married, bought a house.
How about... We now know you're leaving. Let's bring it back to how you got into it, and we'll build up to the moment.
Oh wow,
that's a decision.
Oh, Jesus, that's why you're here, lads.
Yeah.
So I know that you are from Mayo. You're like myself.
Like yourself.
You are from Cross Malina.
Yeah, Costa del Cross.
Home of Kieran MacDonald.
Kieran MacDonald, Louise Duffy, and where Teresa Mannion famously did part of her treacherous journeys. She mentions Cross Malina in that.
Did she? Was she in Galway when she did that?
She was down Salt Hill, but she mentions Cross Malina, which a lot of people have picked up on. Pop culture. Yeah.
Why radio?
Well, it's pretty simple. Worked in a bar back home for years, 10 years in a bar, kind of wasting my time. Well, not wasting my time having the crack, but then it just got, you know, pretty old pretty quick. And I said, you know what? Sat down with my sister, who's an absolute genius, Adele. And my other sister, Stephanie, too, is a genius.
Shout out, you know who you are.
Adele, Stephanie, we love you. But Adele sat me down one day and says, right, this is what you're good at, X, Y, Z. We thrashed out a few ideas. And used to be a bit of a head case as well back in the day, partying, but I nipped that at the bud. But anyways, decided then, we just said radio, maybe something in marketing, repping something, mixing with people, ideas, that kind of thing.
Very personable,
oh,
man.
You are so personable because you're extremely handsome.
No,
very good looking.
No, you are.
That just
keeps
coming out. No, I have to say,
right. Speaks the truth.
He has 0% body fat.
Oh,
is that fair to
so
say?
Ripped.
He's like a whippet.
Yeah.
Do you know those
well,
sort
no,
of dogs?
You're not too far behind me now, in fairness.
Well, yeah, a bit of a gut. But you are very good looking and very talkative. I'd say you're probably one of the most popular people in the building.
Jesus. I wish I came in here a bit sooner, lads.
I said that the last week I was driving past. And you were walking in as I was driving past the door in the morning.
Crashed the car.
And I saw you.
You were brushing your teeth.
And I saw you, and I had a little bit of sadness came across me because I was like, shit, I'm not going to see Stu because I enjoy making the coffee at the same time as you make your cups
of
tea and
coffees. It's a little comforting thing, you know, in the morning, you know the boys are there, bit of a chat, what's happening today, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
And then we had to, as well with Nathan, we had to cut back on his food wastage. But that's for another podcast,
that's,
you know.
Oh, that's great.
That's for another...
He told me last week and how he did it in a way that wasn't condescending.
How do you mean now, food
just
wastage?
Just like a big brother. Do you know with the porridge in the morning, I always was putting too much in the bowl and I just would empty most of it into the bin. And Stu noticed it. He watched from afar and he just came up to me in a nice manner, not even in front of you.
Yeah.
You had gone with the coffee and then Stu just followed me behind and went, hey, can I just say, your portion control, just do less because you keep every morning, you always empty it in the bin. And I went, thank you.
That's what I need to learn because I would probably go, you fucking cop on to yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that in well.
I'd be too angry and too aggressive.
Well, I'd never waste. I always eat everything I ever have. And just when I saw it a few mornings, I was like, just what? Not, it wasn't that it bothered me.
No,
but it was just
it
like every morning he's putting, not loads, but
yeah, there's
a turn of his bowl into the bin.
In
I was like, if he puts a little less in, he'll just eat what he needs.
Saving money as well.
And I did it. So thank you very
2020,
much.
2020, hello. Yeah.
So you decided you wanted to get into radio. Who did you used to listen to?
So the radio, Ray Darcy.
Yeah.
That was for me, was going to school or going to work years ago, listening on the radio. Just loved all his segments. It was really innovative and it was like just of the moment. And I really liked Ray. Over the last few years, he's probably changed a little bit. But just back then, I just thought the team, him, Jenny, Maria, all them, they were just really interesting and I got a good buzz out of it.
So how did you get the job here?
So myself and Graham actually share a legend, an icon, yes, between us.
Yes.
So I started off, I did a short course with, what you call them, Radio Nova. That was absolutely crap.
Don't
it
do
was
it.
Crap.
Why?
I went over, it might be good now. I was at home. I did a bit of work with, I went up to CRC, Community Radio Castlebar.
Yes.
Voluntary work. Called in, said, I'd like to try it out. They gave me a bit of a taste for it.
And what did they let you do in there?
So I went in, hadn't a clue at this
so
stage.
This, you'd know.
No clue.
Hadn't been to college.
Hadn't been to college.
This was it.
I was in college for a year and minute years ago, but all I did was party, women and all that stuff. Didn't study because it just wasn't for me.
What was the course?
It was arts.
All right.
I was doing like French, English and philosophy.
Forget it.
At least the football pitch has goals.
Oh, here we go.
I did arts.
And yeah, you have to backtrack. Yeah.
I apologise.
I'm so sorry, guys.
So I went to CRC and then looked a course online. Went up a few weeks, a few weekends up to Radio Nova. Went in, lecturers were late. The ones that were meant to be teaching us were late. And I was coming from Mayo paying X amount.
Did you have to go, did they do it in the studios there?
They did it in the studio. So they give you a bit of a flavour. Like you'd sit down, write maybe up a script thing, look at a topical thing from the day. Like the stuff, you know, we do now, but on a smaller scale. And was up there anyways. Long story short, it wasn't great, but it gave me that little bit of a kick, as in, do you know what, this could be something I'd be good at. So I went to CRC. Whilst I worked in the pub during the evenings, I worked in the radio during the days on a voluntary basis.
Lovely.
Got to know lots of nice people in there. And when you're in there, for one, when you're voluntary, they're not going to kick you out unless you're awful bad, you know. And then, really bad. And then just when you're in there, you're kind of under no pressure to perform. But still, you want to, you know, show that you have something.
Yeah.
So a man we know from Lewsburg.
Yes.
The one and only.
Tommy Morahan.
I've never heard of this living legend. What's going on with
Tommy
him?
Tommy Morahan, I only had a brief encounter with him, really. I worked a few times producing, so to speak, his show on CRC. But I met him one day and we just got talking and he said, right, he says, let's go for a coffee. Let's sit down and just see where you're at. So we sat down, we shot the breeze about everything, radio, life, family, you name it, what you're into and all that. And just to this day, it was like one of the best chats I probably ever had. As in, he just, it wasn't so much about radio, it was just about me. What do you actually want to do? There's no point saying to me, I want to work in a radio station. It's as easy to say, I want to be an astronaut. Why do you want to do it? How are you going to do it?
Ah.
And then we just started talking. And from that then, just working a little bit with him, I saw how clued in. He is like a master's in media and he's a real, you're on about people, person people. He is like the epitome of that. So anyways, had a good old laugh with him and he kind of spurred me on.
Did he do kind of teaching and lecturing in Mayo?
GMIT or something like that?
Did you? So you did not, I thought you, so you met him in
I met
Castlebar.
Him in CRC, yeah. He was
covering I thought you met him when he, because he used to do a bit of teaching, I think, in the tech.
He did,
in
Castlebar. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Where did you meet him, Graham?
So he is my roommate slash probably one of my best friends, Brian's uncle. I've told you about him before.
Oh, yeah.
So he's from Lewsburg. He did a bit of stuff. He used to do media lecturing as well. And so he'd be my best friend's uncle. He found out that I had an interest in radio. He used to create documentaries with Sound and Vision with the BAI.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I used to submit some ones. He would help me do them. And then he would help me get across the line. I'd get funding. I'd make them. And then similar to what Stu was doing in Castlebar, when Westport opened up their community radio station, I went in to work along with him, probably doing the exact same thing as you were doing, working on Tommy's show, helping him read the papers, find little bits and bobs. And anytime we need any help, Tommy would always be there, an absolute gentleman as well. And still to this day, I had a great meet with him. Well, I meet him every time I go down because I see him around town, but I just needed a bit of help last year in something I was doing. Door was open, came, had about 2 hour chat with them, meeting with them, gave me everything I needed. Lovely man.
And hold on, before you come in, Nathan, together we will say his catchphrase. 1, 2, 3. You the man.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to edit that.
No, we're not going to.
I know, I do actually know that one. You the man.
You the man.
Can I ask you a question? Both of you from the country, when you're interested in radio, do you really want to go to Dublin? Is that the thing? Is that the mecca of the radio world? Or are you thinking, no, I'd take any radio station around?
Well, I suppose it depends what your, you know, where your sights are at.
But did you want to go to Dublin?
Well, I wanted to, when I was in CRC, it was only small scale. But in your head, you're like, yeah, if you go to Dublin, a big city, like a metropolis, you go there, there's way more options, there's more possibilities. You're like, right. But to get there, to get to the bigger station, it's a trek, you know. You can't, a smaller station, more of a chance maybe getting on. Again, maybe having more of a, you know, Western accent, country accent or whatnot. Maybe the Dublin cities might like that. It's neutral enough, the Mayo accent, which is a good thing. But sometimes it can be a bit boggery, as people would call it. So that might stand against you. But yeah, Dublin would have been on my radar. Yeah.
So you did the Nova course, and then what happened?
So Nova course was back in CRC, as I said, there during the days, 5 days a week for free, and then in the pub in the evenings to make money. And just always looking online, was there the things I could go at, but kept at that for probably a year and a half. And then when I was just sick of the pub, I just said, right, I'm going to Dublin. That's it. I want to work in radio. It's not going to happen here. Moved to Dublin, got working in a hotel because I'd worked in hospitality, the Conrad Hotel, 5-star. So I went from like a country pub in the west of Ireland where they're like pissing and getting sick out in the alleyway,
yeah,
to like 5-star dining and all that. So that was definitely a learning curve.
What were you doing in there? Were you barman?
I was a food and beverage operative. Label they put on us.
Wow. Yeah. So
just people come in, you sit down. What would you like to eat? Yeah. Whatever. But it kind of silver spoon touched it. But again, it was a 5-star hotel that was silver spoon, but I've more silver spoon in my big toe than nearly the whole place had at the time.
I love the way you're slamming all these companies.
Yeah, that's, I mean, great. Like, no, it's great. You're you're being honest.
No,
because
you go in and then it's like all the front and it's worth millions and Conrad, Hilton, come here, you know. And then you're going in, you're having a breeze, like, you know, you treat your staff crappy, things are really badly run behind the scenes by certain people, and it's actually the people, the front house, us, that were getting like basic wages that really wanted the place to do well and thrive, and we wanted people to be happy. But they weren't giving us the tools.
I feel like
that,
this is so. Howard Stern right now. We're really just letting loose. We're being honest. Did you know many people in Dublin?
I didn't. I had a few good mates up here. A few lads I was in college with that time. And one lad, David Kinsler, he was working up here at the time. And I bunked in with him for a few weeks while I was kind of in limbo after jobs. Because, you know, leaving the pub after 10 years, kind of, not that I thought that's all I can do. But, you know, you're a bit like roots growing in your feet a bit. And I need to, you know, push on a bit.
What year was this?
This would be, I think it's 6 years, 2013.
So were rents crazy back then?
Oh yeah, it would have been. I think I was paying $4.90. So the place he was renting in Milltown, lovely apartment, but his mate, another guy we know, was moving out, and I moved in, and it was $4.90. So I was living in my home house,
yeah,
with my dad, paying, maybe, you know, you'd pay for a bill here, you'd buy the food, and that was your,
yeah,
to like paying $4.90. So you're kind of going, right, this is, you know, you have to open your eyes here
now.
This is your paying rent, the real world. So, but look, again, I was probably, a lot of people do that a lot younger than me, so I was a bit late to the party. But anyways, you don't be long getting into it once you have to be forking out 500 quid a month. Like,
so from the hotel to Today FM.
So hotel, was looking at radio stuff, but it was a non-runner because my hours were very, you know, like you could be doing mornings, evenings.
Unpredictable.
Unpredictable, that's the word I couldn't think of.
Don't worry.
16-hour shifts, you were just like, right, feck that, can't be doing something on the side. So I got out of there, started working in Milltown in Wilding Green, a lovely cafe over there.
Yes, yeah. I had a date there before. It went terribly.
Yeah? Was I working?
Is that a weird place to go for a date?
It's so weird because it's like a shopping centre with a just a cafe.
It's a cafe shop, kind of boutique.
It's kind of like a bit like Avoca.
Yeah,
it
I was
is,
thinking.
But not as posh.
It's a shittier Avoca.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's aimed
to be. That's their tagline.
Yeah.
We're a shittier Avoca.
That's Carmel and Denise, the bosses. They'd love to hear that one. I'd send this video, this voice clip onto them.
Yeah, I'm secretly videoing you for this.
But yeah, so I started working there. Handier hours. Ended up that I had my weekends free.
Okay.
So once I got the weekends free, I said, right, my best mate back home, Micheál Barrett, who was my best man at my wedding, he said, Stu, you know, you've weekends free, you should apply for things. You know, I know Judy Gavin that works with Matt Cooper on The Last Word. He said, use her as a contact or someone to Louise Duffy from Crossmolina. And Louise was really good to me now. I'd be messaging her. But it's like anything. If you have a friend now that says, lads, I want to work on radio, can you get me in on Spin? You can't just bring a random person in
Can I ask? So you're kind of going with this, and no disrespect to you at the time, but you didn't have much experience. You were going from community radio working for free, and you were going to possibly the biggest radio station in the country.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of like thoughts thinking, I can't do this? Or were you so, do you have such self-belief that you go, of course I can. The minute I get in there, I'm going to do a great job. What were your thought process there thinking, I'm going straight for Today FM?
Well, yeah, I just, like, without sounding cocky, it's like, you know yourself, your abilities and what you can and cannot do. And like, you have to, as they say, you have to have a dream, blah, blah, blah. But I just said, right, Today FM, I kind of waited up. I listened, I looked at the shows and stuff. And listen to certain people, and I said, I know as a fact, once I apply myself and once I get in and learn a bit about the industry, I said, why can't I do it? I said, I'm chatty, I talk shit for Ireland, seem to have a way of getting on with people, which I attribute to working in the pub over the years, because you know, you're mixing with the public all the time. And I just said, yeah, look, just go for it. And as I said, it wasn't until my mate Micheál said to me, look, make this happen, he said, send a few emails. So got on to Julie, she tried did a few things but didn't work out that much. A job came up with The Breakfast Show with Ian Shaw, and I sent in a CV and got a message back from Mairead Ronan. Mairead Farrell at the time. Yep. And Mairead said, oh, hey, Stuart, blah, 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 got your thing. We'd love you to come in for a chat. So then when that happened, I was like, great. But then it's like you said, part of me was like, great. But I was like, I actually haven't a fucking clue when I go in what I'm actually... She started asking me about, you know, your favourite show and what are your opinions on XYZ. And I was like, so in my head, I was like, I'd be really good at radio. But then when you get there, you're like, geez, this actually a different animal.
It must be intimidating as well, because you were obviously a huge fan of Ray Darcy, and Ray was an integral part of that show as
massive.
Well.
Massive. Yeah, and I want, well, she's hot too. So, no, this is a hot lady in front of you. You're like, you know, I was just like, whoa. So anyways, came in, got suited and booted. And came in and met her, and we'd like a lovely chat. I'd say honestly, 5 minutes into it, I said I haven't a breeze of getting this job, because just little things like, oh, on Twitter who would you follow and what trends, and
you were calling it Twitter,
you know, and I was just like, yeah, Twitter. I was like, definitely off to a bad start. And then we were just there chatting, and after 10-15 minutes I knew she knew, but we never said it between us. And after she said, look, Stuart, she says, look, really nice guy, I have a good feeling about you, you're interested in it, look, you have my number there, you have my email, give me a shout in a few weeks and I'll see if I can help you out with this job isn't right for you now, but she says,
something different.
So then I emailed her a few weeks later. She put me in touch with Alison Curtis from Weekend Breakfast.
Yep.
And got with Alison, came in voluntary on Saturdays for, I'd say, the guts of a year. So again, came in with her. And you're thinking, coming from such a small station like CRC, that you're a million miles away from where you need to be. Turns out we're using Cool Edit down there, so I would have done a lot of audio stuff. And sure, she said, oh, I'm looking for a new, maybe like a little jingle thing or a promo thing into the show. So I just made one up with John's song, son of a bitch, but in between it was like people going, hi Alison, how are you? Alison, hey Alison, love the show. And it was a real, you know, small little thing, but I made that and it was catchy. And like, she used it on the show that day, and I was just like, so then I was like, right,
cool.
This is only a basic thing I'm just after doing. It's nothing groundbreaking.
But yeah, but like, at the time, well, that's huge.
It was huge, but really I was going, right, it's the first thing I've done. That's, I know I'm not even the best at this, you know, using Cool Edit and stuff. And I said, this is being put out on national radio. I said, I'm only after literally putting my foot in the door. So I was like, right, there's definitely room for scope.
Got bitten by the bug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you describe your experience meeting Sir Ian Dempsey?
Sir Ian Dempsey.
What was it like?
So, things about, we'd say, heroes and stuff. So, to be straight up, he wouldn't have been a hero years ago, as in, like, he was on TV. I watched him, really watched him on the, liked him on the Den and stuff, and obviously you grew up listening to him on the radio. But is he a hero? You're like, he's just someone that, you know, a personality. But as time has gone on now, getting to know him, the man is, he is actually a hero, and he's a legend. Like, he's bang on. And from day one when I met him, of course you're nervous. You're kind of like, because I remember in the actual cover letter I sent to Mairead for the job, I was working in the cafe at the time, and I said to her that, you know, I work in a coffee shop and I make a class coffee, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if Ian wants a good barista, I'm the man and all this. And I remember the first morning I went in and I was working, and then Charlie was like, the producer, Charlie, he was like, oh, will you make a coffee for Ian? And that was actually the moment. I went up, you know, the machine upstairs, an older machine, put the coffee on, just an Americano, came down and I went in the door and I just put the coffee. And as soon as, it's even thinking of it as mad, right? I just put the coffee down the table and I looked, and Ian was looking at me, and I was like, I could just see that letter I'd written. And me writing, I love to, you know, I make a coffee,
and it's
Ian Dempsey. And I was like, this is it now. And again, nothing to do with radio or nothing, but just for me, I was like, right, this is cool. But again, going back to actually meeting Ian, he's just always been so sound from day one. Makes you feel so welcome. He's great crack. Like us all, he'd be giving out now and again about stuff for this, that and the other. But like, he's sound out. And,
isn't it crazy how all the skills that you acquire through loads of different jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's mad. As you said, you have the gift of the gab. A lot of that comes down to
through the bar,
the bar. Then just being able to make a coffee sounds so simple, but do you know that adds to you having many strings to your bow?
Anything you do in your life, it's like my dad will always say, like, there's nothing you do in your life that's kind of wrong or a waste of time. There might be certain things you're going, oh, why did I do this or that? But every single thing you do across your life will stand you up for some reason, whether it's good or bad. You're going to, you know, you're losing the future some way.
You know, you were saying you were doing Weekend Breakfast and you were basically volunteering for a while. Did you ever get disheartened that you weren't getting paid?
Not disheartened. The key card to get into Marconi House, I didn't get one of them for ages. Right. And that was my little goal. It's like, right, once I get this little key card now, you know, to actually get in. So when I came, I had to press the buzzer. The guy, the security guy, knew me well.
Yeah.
But just, and then when I got that, I was like, right. And then obviously getting paid, you want to get paid. But I was working in the cafe a lot of hours, so I was making decent money, like, and wasn't really, you know, partying or anything like that. So I was saving a bit too. But then as you're in here then, and then again, another point was when you get your first pay slip from, you know, I met Adele Nolan, we had a coffee, the programming director, sound woman. We sat down, talked through stuff, and she's right, you know what, I'll pay you now for, and I'll put you on the list for cover during the week if there's anything happening. And then that's how, that was the actual footstep into working with The Breakfast Show then.
Did it cross with any of your cafe days working? Like, what was the, because I remember, I think it was you, Nathan, because you were working in a cafe as well, but we were doing weekends and Sunday nights, but when we had to cover breakfast, you had to kind of work out
on the shifts.
So how did that work, juggling the shifts? Was that okay with the understanding in the cafe?
They were understanding in the cafe because I was there a while and I was a bit older than some of the people working there, and I have a good head in me for things like that, you know, like time management and with people and stuff. So they kind of knew, they, not that they really needed me there, but having me there was better than not having me there. So I kind of used that to my advantage, in, right, look, I can't come in this day if it doesn't suit you. Kind of like, I don't care.
Well,
I did. But you know, I was kind of like, oh well, whatever. And they say, oh no, and I got on with them too. They were sound the bosses, so I ended up the shifts were fine. And there was days then where I took a chance. So let's say Charlie might say, oh, next Thursday and Friday we don't know if we need someone, or in 2 weeks time. So I just say at work, right, I can't come in them 2 days, but then I'd work a full 12-hour shift, a full day another day, just to make up for it. But then I mightn't get something on that day, you know, that I said I'd take off, and then you just be like, you won't get paid that day then because you're taking a chance on getting radio work. But as time went on, the more chances I took and the more days I took off leaving it for the radio, things did come up.
Yeah.
And then I got in, and again, it wasn't to do with the actual money of the radio. It was just, I wanted to be in here as often as I could so that I'd be learning more. And then the more I was in here, the more you get known, and the more you're known, the more you're, you know, people want to have your own. So
I'm interested to know how you moving to Dublin had an effect on your relationship with the missus.
Good question. He is hard hitting today.
No,
so
he's come packing.
So my wife's name is Aoife. She's from Island Aidy, just outside Castlebar.
Where did you meet her?
I met her in Westport years and years and years ago. Back
Castle
in
Court?
2009, the Castle Court Hotel. Was on the dance floor, looked out on the dance floor, saw this blonde girl. I was like, she is so fucking hot.
Did you start shifting her?
No, not from, I was about 50 foot away from her. So
your tongue was outside
though. I have a long neck, but I just saw her and I was like, she's so hot. Went over, chatted her, and her friend then, Michelle Kelly, told this one at the wedding, but Michelle was like, fuck off, leave it, she's a boyfriend, why are you talking to her? I said, I'm only talking to the girl, with obviously the intention of doing more than talking.
Yeah.
But
she had a boyfriend.
She had a boyfriend, but then we got talking, and she says, oh, do you know my cousins from Cross Line, Paul and Stephen Duffy, very pally with, used to be out with all the time.
Boom, you're thinking ding dong, yep.
Got talking, bit of a connection, but she was just awful sound. She was, you could just even see then, she was like, just having the crack, not taking herself serious, and really hot, so that always
and
helps.
a nice person.
Do you buy her a drink or anything?
No, once her friend said she had a boyfriend, I backed away.
No number exchange?
No, nothing. Okay. And
any social media, was that around?
No, nothing. That was,
but you had the
that around. I mean, with the dinosaurs or something.
Say, were you on Twitter?
I was on my top 16 on Bebo.
But you had the in though. You had the in with their cousins.
And I really fancied her, and then that was it. But once someone has a boyfriend, you're going, whatever. And then a few months later, that was during the summer, it was her cousin Paul's 21st on the 2nd of August. And her, Paul's sister Emma, her cousin, I met her in Crossmolina one day on the street and we were chatting, and she goes, oh, and do you remember Aoife, my cousin? I was like, the really hot blonde girl. I was like, yeah. And she was like, duh. And she was like, oh, she's single now. Her and the guy aren't together, she says. And she's coming to Paul's 21st the next
day. Oh, yes. This and is I when you're said, like, Paul, you beautiful bastard.
Paul is actually, you're on about handsome. He is the most handsome man you'll ever meet. He looks like, what you call your man for Wales, the kicker?
Gavin Henson.
No, you know your man. He does the funny kind of nose.
Owen Farrell.
No,
Welsh.
Bigger.
Wales.
Dan Bigger.
I don't know. Bigger. Rugby.
Anyways, yeah. He's the cut. I'll show you a picture of him afterwards.
No, Dan Carter.
Dan Bigger. But anyways, yeah. So his 21st, I went up. I was working that. It was a Friday night or Saturday night.
Jeez, you're only 21. Were you 21? What age would you have been during this?
Oh, when was that? Be 2009. So let me see. I was born in 85. 24.
Four.
Yeah, 24.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was his 21st.
Yeah.
And he was up to the house, and after work brought a slab of cans with me, and all walked in, made a nice entrance. And the funny thing is, so I walked in. So Aoife, thankfully, another good thing about Aoife's family is they have a really good really good genetics, all good looking. Either side, fellas,
you
women,
fancy
all,
everyone.
I love them all.
You're
right?
Like, even if I don't I get with them all, I'll get
the lads,
with the mother,
the lads
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, the uncle. And and I was walked in, and there was a big sea of women. She's about 70 something cousins, like.
Oh, Jesus.
And there was a sea of women and a few blonde ones. So
you
I was
couldn't
like,
miss.
So I knew, yeah, I couldn't miss.
Did you know which one was which?
That's the thing. I walked and I saw her. She had kind of a multicolored, kind of dotty dress on. And I looked and I said, that's her. And another girl walked by and I was like, that could be her. And then I was like, that. And I was like, fuck this. So then a lad with me, Chris, I was like, Chris Welch, I was like, Chris, you'll have to do a bit of, you know, a bit
digging,
of chatting or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways, as the night went on, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's her. And
was it polka dot dress?
Polka dot dress, yeah, yeah.
And then go with your instincts.
Shane McKinley, a friend of mine from Cross, he was there and I went over to McKinley, just go chatting to her there quickly. So we went over and he came back. He says, yeah, yeah, that's Aoife, that's Aoife.
So did Aoife recognise you?
Oh, she did, of course, yeah, yeah.
And did you shift that night?
We did, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh, you've jumped.
I had to. Premature. He's premature.
You've jumped so
I
much.
Couldn't wait. What happened?
So I just went over and just started talking to her and having the crack with her. And then as the night went on, we left the house, went out the front. There's a kind of a building across the street. Went to the size of that and we're just chatting. A little bit of a sneaky kiss.
Boom.
You know yourself, that was it. Nothing, but as she said, she went back in, and Paul's brother, Stephen Owens, has this quote from back then. She came back in and she told everyone, she says, he was such a gentleman, he never even touched my bum.
Did you not?
Yeah, no, I didn't touch
her
bum.
Did you know you were dying to, though?
Because I wasn't alert.
I touched your bum the first night I saw you.
I touched your bum with my mind.
So
yeah, when did you start? So you started going out around that
time? So we're looking at August, and we started going out then the 25th of October, because Aoife was over in England at the time. She studied sports science over in St Mary's in Twickenham.
Very clever.
She's a PE teacher now. So she didn't get the points for Limerick. So she said, I need to go over to England or elsewhere. And she went over there. So she was in England at the time. And she said, look, there's no point in us messing about over and back, different things. She says, I like you, you like me. If you want this to work, basically, you know, we're going out or else forget about it. And thankfully, which was totally against the grain of my ways, I was like, do you know what? I'm just kind of hinting something about this one here. I said, you know, I'm going to think we should just go for it. And that was it. So she, back to your question 3 hours ago, she was in England that time. So we did a lot of over and back and not seeing each other.
How did you find the long distance?
It was fine. I mean, like, of course you want to see the person, but it was grand. You know, it was something new. I liked her a lot. If I didn't, I wouldn't have done it. And I went over. It's a good crack to go over to England every couple of months as well, like, and she'd be back.
So she moved from England to Mayo.
So she moved from England back to Ireland, down to Limerick to do her to some courses, like a connecting course with UL, to get her degree for doing PE teaching. So when she came back, she was down in UL and I was still in Mayo. So then it was Mayo, Limerick.
Right.
And then she was in Limerick for a year. She came back and then she got a job up in Dublin.
Oh, she did come up to
so
Dublin.
So she moved to Dublin and then I was still in Mayo. And she was teaching in a place, Rosemont Secondary School. And then when she was there, so we hatched a plan that I'd come up to Dublin with the radio thing in my head and CRC and all that. It was all coming together. So I moved to Dublin, started working in the hotel, the cafe, whatnot.
You weren't living with her?
Not initially. I lived with my mate in Milltown. And then we looked for a place together in Steppeside where she was living. And we came across a cheap apartment that I live in yet. And we moved in there.
Oh, I didn't know you were living with her in Dublin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I lived with her for about 2 years, maybe a little over 2 years.
How
in Dublin.
How did you find it?
Unreal, yeah. You know, a lot of people ahead of you say, oh, moving in, big step, and you don't know each other, what you do, your little habits, your little things. And I was like, just went in from day one. And the only thing is, I thought I'm a bit of a neat freak, maybe as lads go, not that I should be, you know, talking about fellas being dirtier than girls, but we probably are. But she is like a total OCD clean freak. So when I'd go in, I'd be like, oh, that's lovely. And she'd be like, be lovely now in 5 minutes when I give it a proper clean. I'd be like, all right, yeah. So, but besides from that, there was nothing. We got on really well. We shared all the chores. Like, I love doing all the domestic stuff anyways.
Yeah.
So, got on really well. And then, anyways, she was kind of done with the job in Dublin. And she was like, oh, I'm kind of sick of this place. It's blah, blah, blah. So she went looking for jobs and ended up getting a job down in Sligo, where she is now. So we had the big chat there couple of years ago.
Is that
2 years
big chat
ago.
Scary?
Not really.
Are you thinking, God, this could end
you,
because of it?
No. What show are you on at that stage?
Breakfast show.
Oh, so you're
so I was in the breakfast show just getting in, and Aoife would be the biggest fan, the biggest one that would be behind me, supporting. Yeah. Right, this is what you want to do. You go and do it, and we'll work around us between it. You know,
brilliant.
But then you can't forget about the us part.
It's a
either.
Healthy it's relationship.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's plenty of room between us. But anyways, again, long story short, we had the chat. Cross Malina, great place to have a chat.
Hello.
Over by the lake in her car. Thinking about moving home, do we stay in Dublin, rents, kids, blah, blah, blah. So the way we worked it out was that Dublin's great if you're a bit younger, you're partying, you're out looking for, you know, a bit of loving. But we had all that stuff there. We were like, right, we're not looking for any of that. She moved back to home. I said, right, I'll stay in Dublin, and then when we get married, we'll hatch a plan to move back west and all that. So, living together was great. Her moving home, again, after us being together for a while, was a little harder because you were used to each other. But it's like anything, when you're together, right, and you love each other, and you know you're going to get married, what's the difference in seeing each other every few weeks or not?
Yeah.
And some might say it's a bit healthier that you don't see each other 24/7 because... just gives you time to, you know, do your own thing and you're not in each other's pockets and stuff like that.
So you proposed to her?
Proposed to her, yeah. On the 22nd of June 2017.
You're a great man for dates.
Yeah, yeah, very important. I've learned over time, don't forget dates.
How did you propose to her?
So proposal was good, yeah. It was, so back in 2009, 2010, I used to be out partying, drinking the head of myself. Like, not as bad, but same as anyone else. So 2010, I packed all that in, said no more drinking, no more mess, and I said just going to focus on, again, I wouldn't have got into the radio, I would have just probably stayed working in the bar and just let days run into weeks, into months, all that crack. But was back home, and then we had kind of crisis talks around that time down in Galway. I was meant to meet her, I think it was the Saturday I was meant to meet her, and I went in the beer for about 3 days. My mate was going to Australia, Cullum, who I mentioned earlier, his going away party. And then Monday I woke up and I was like dying. Tuesday I woke up, I was dying, and then we were going to Galway that Wednesday, me and Aoife, and I hadn't spoken to her in like 3 days. I could have been dead for all she knew. And anyways, we went down to Galway and we had like crisis talks, unbelievable few days, and that was the kind of make or break.
Like,
I think a lot of people have that, you know, a little make or break. So back to the engagement, I said whenever I'm going to propose to her, I'm always going to do it in Galway, because that was
a real significant moment.
So the G Hotel is where we stayed that time, class place. And the first time we stayed there, I was, you know, a bit younger, and I put rose petals on the bed, and I was trying to be, you
let's
know,
get it know, on.
I've been really trying. And so went back to Galway that time, and over the weekend did a few little things that where she might have thought I was going to propose, like, you know. So we'd say, for example, went to a bar. My mate was kind of semi-running the Pucon, very popular bar in Galway,
Pucon.
And he arranged that there was a guy singing that night. Anyways. But that he called me up. He says, oh, I hear there's a guy here tonight, Stuart Griffin, who loves to do a bit of singing. And I was like, what the fuck? But I knew, like,
were you leaving these traps?
Yeah, so I was leaving little things. So with this one was like, I was sitting there and in the bar with Aoife, and then this random singer just says, there's a guy. And Aoife goes, Did you ask to go? I says, I can't fucking sing. Why would I ask to go up? And then Owen Corcoran, big shout out to Corky Balls, he was there. And then I said, it must be Owen. And everyone was like, come on, you have, don't fucking let us down. There's a load of Americans in front of me. Like, yeah. And I said, I'm not. And he was like, go on. So I went up, and our song is the Lumineers, Hey Ho or Ho Hey, whatever you call it. So I sang that with your man. Didn't do too bad now, in fairness.
Yeah.
And sure, the Americans, oh man, you fucking nailed it, man. That was amazing.
Yeah, well done, Corky Balls. Yeah.
And I was like, so anyways, did that, sat down, and I was kind of holding her hands at the bar. She had a bit of a worried look on her face, like, isn't what, you know. And I just let go of her hand, saying, oh, that was good crack, wasn't it?
Oh,
you know,
you're a prick.
And, you know, you know. And then we left it there, and then that night went back to the hotel. But before, we'd actually stayed in Salt Hill a few days before that, the lovely hotel out in Salt Hill, because Aoife had graduated, and I got like a plate with her name on it, and chocolates and flowers and all that stuff. So then surprised her by going to the G Hotel for two nights, because she didn't know we were staying there, just again to go back to the time we stayed there for the, mm-hmm. the make or break. And then we're back in the hotel. I did the rose petals again when she went in.
Did
that
you
night
rose petals?
No, I just did it as a, I wouldn't be into that really, but just as a little, you know, joke, homage to the time before. And then that was that night. And next day then, on the way back, I was like videoing her, me singing It's Her in the Car, like kind of songs in the radio and having the crack and that. And then we just got back to Mayo after a lovely weekend, and we got back and just over to my sister's house then. And we're inside, and I said, oh, Aoife, I said, did you out the girls, see what the girls did outside, my nieces, my five nieces, like, and well, four at the time. And she was like, oh no, no. So she went out, and I had the ring in my pocket. I bought like a token ring down in Galway, because we, as we were down there, we looked at a few windows, and Aoife was just by chance going like, oh, that'd be nice. And you know, she's like, oh, I'm not talking about like engagement or anything, but you know, they're nice kind of rings there. And there was like a trident one, you know, like with the three stones in it. And I was like, alright, yeah. So I got one, token one, and went out and just, that was it.
In front of your nieces?
No, my nieces. See, I thought my nieces might be there, but they weren't. They were at school and stuff. So my sister and her husband were inside, and I was just out there and just kind of grabbed her shoulders, and you start whispering sweet little nothings in her ear. You know, for nearly 10 years now, we're together. And
did you get emotional? You
know, not really. To be honest with you, it's not even emotional. You feel a bit of, like a bit of a prick.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's the line.
No,
feel like a prick.
Why do you feel like a prick?
No, not a prick as in a bad way, but you just feel like a bit of a dope standing there. The worst thing is going down on your knee, Because when you're, I was like holding her shoulders, saying stuff, and I could feel her kind of, she knew.
Wait now, is she facing outwards? So or she's facing Nathan. Towards
Nathan,
you?
When you come out of my sister's house, they have like lovely green fields around it. Mm. And it was class day, lovely blue sky. Nathan just looking at us, a little bit of sun on Nathan.
Oh, Nathan. And I thought you said Nathan.
Yeah, I kept thinking you were saying Nathan.
That's how an English person
says
Nathan.
Wait, what's Nathan?
Nathan Big. It's a mountain range. It's a big mountain, like the people.
Did you think you were saying Nathan? I kept
sorry,
going,
mate.
So on the right.
I was there. Nathan was right. There. So Nathan the mountain Bay. Was there. And I was just looking up at it. Oh, beautiful. And what I actually did was I took a picture. As I went down on my knee, I took a picture of the box, her and the mountain in the background. So I always have that little mental, you know, wow. You have a mental image, but I just have that. And we're just talking. But then you get down on your knee and she turned around. She was like, oh, just fucking get up with you. Why don't you get up? You know,
I but think
like,
you have to do the knee. I just don't know how anyone could propose in front of people.
I know.
It seems
like such
a private act. Mm. Could you imagine in a restaurant?
I know.
You would have to be a knob.
Yeah, no, for anyone that does it and they're into it, that's their own. But just for me, I never... It's not even. I don't really want to impose my
what's your
thing
opinion
on them.
I'm
you
sorry
know?
That I did.
What's your opinion on people getting engaged at concerts?
Oh, they're just attention seeking.
It's over the top.
Or at someone. Do you remember that thing that was on the paper there recently? There was a story like some bride went ape because at the wedding, her cousin went up and like grabbed the mic off the band and were like, "Everybody, I want to." Or no, the groom, the fella, her cousin, he was like, I want to take this chance. And she knew he wanted to propose to her cousin, and she ran over and like reefed your man out of it. Was like, "You're not fucking doing that at my wedding," you know, because he was trying.
See,
trying
I think actually bands probably enjoy it.
It's good publicity, isn't it?
It is great
well,
publicity.
They do, yeah, but at the same time, I think for a bride and groom, any big occasion or moment like that, you just have to.
So you propose to Aoife, yes. And now let's just go to the moment that. You have bought a house.
Yes.
And you're now going to be leaving this
you're
building.
Leaving us.
It's very sad, Stu.
It's sad, but it's not. Because as I said, I know for the last couple of years, we've had our own plan about moving away and different things. But yeah, moving, it's kind of weird because years ago, you're thinking, oh, my dream is to work in radio. I get up there and you should always have a plan B and C. But like, you're kind of like, this is it. This is my,
you've
this
done
is
it.
Fucking A, baby. We're here. We've done the plan. And then when you're here, you're kind of going, I'm coming away from this. So I have to... You know, start nearly afresh.
Did
and go
the
with
plan
something.
Make you as happy?
Oh, I couldn't be happier.
Is it because you had that dream and you got it? And is it everything that you wanted?
Exactly, yeah. It's everything that I wanted. And it's, as I said, you come into radio or, you know, the industry and you have an idea, a preconception. And then when you get in, it's like any job. You get in, you see different things. You might see little creaks or things that could be better or what. But, you know, you see it as in like, it's a big animal, media and radio. Like, you just think it's coming on air and talking. Basically, you know, if anyone at home that listens to the radio, they go, actually, they're just in having the crack, shooting the breeze, having it, like us three here, whatever, blah. But with shows, as you know, there's a lot more time and effort and stuff behind it. And there's little tricks of the trade you have to be on top of to keep, you know, keep it fresh, keep it current and all that. So, but for me, I've loved it and it's been everything. I've had trips to, you know, the ski trip now in a few weeks with the breakfast
that's
show.
Your
last hurrah.
That's my last one, my third one, but my last hurrah is that week. But like, that's unbelievable. I was in Abu Dhabi last year with them over at the World Games with Ian. He's an ambassador over there reporting from Abu Dhabi, like with teams, something that I never thought I'd do. And just said the whole team, like Charlie, Ian, of course, Mario, like to sit beside Mario Rosenstock. You've had him on the podcast here.
Haven't had him on this podcast.
No,
you get him in
to. But we said that we were going to try and tap him up now in the
I do he'd love to year. He'd love to do it. But like Mario sitting beside you again, absolute gentleman, and you couldn't speak highly enough about him. But it's Charlie and Shauna, they're the ones. So Sean O'Reilly and Charlie Halligan, the producer, and well, she's researcher, but she's producer as well, I suppose. But like the two of them are just absolute same age as me. I feel like they're kind of older because they're here for, you know, a good few years and they know a lot more than I do. But they've been so sound since I started as well. Like, and I miss them all. But yeah, them two, because we see each other every morning and we're in a little WhatsApp group and called Morning Glory. And
hello.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so things like that I miss. But if it was tomorrow morning, they emailed me and said, "Stuart, sorry, your position is gone." Then I'd be a bit pissed off or I'd be sad. But I know for the
You're
last...
You're leaving on your terms.
I'm leaving on my terms and I've always given 110%
to
the place.
Yeah, you have that steel work determination. Yeah. This is, though, an interesting but exciting time in your life where you don't know what you're going to do.
I don't, because I've looked back home again. You're saying radio stuff. There's not much. There's like Midwest, as we know, which is a fine station and has big listenership.
A
and
huge listenership.
And all that. But yeah, I just don't know if it's for me. And again, hospitality is where my strengths have been before.
You're a people person. You've got to be around people.
I think if I had, tomorrow morning, if I won the lottery and you said to me, what do you want to do? I'd buy a cafe in Westport, good name, get a good social media presence, have a good story to it, and just give really good food and coffee to people and, you know, get a good buzz around the place.
You'd be
and
great.
I'd be happy out at that, but it's going to take a bit of money, a bit of time, but that'd be kind of a, maybe an idea.
Down the line. How far are you, far is Cross... Oh, no, Crossmine is North Mayo, isn't it?
Yeah, Crossmine is about 40 minutes from Westport.
I was thinking it's far too far from Galway.
Yeah, Galway's out of the question.
Sligo? You're close to Sligo.
Aoife teaches in Ballymote and Sligo, could go there. But again, I just, to be honest with you...
Westport is so busy.
Westport is so busy.
And it is crying out for kind of new types of restaurants, because they've got the, or cafes.
Is it like an artisan coffee place?
We have a place now called This Must Be The Place.
Yeah, I was looking that up even for a place to try and get a bit of work.
Every time Claire comes down, she loves going there because, like, you know, they've got more than just soup and sandwiches. They have... I'm letting myself down. They've got vegan stuff.
Yeah.
And it would be very at home in Dublin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so to have this one place in Westport, everyone's like, oh, what's
and
this
does
new
it do
thing?
Well?
You cannot get a seat in there.
Oh, amazing.
It's booming, doesn't it?
Every time we go, we have to wait at the site. It is booming. So, and because Westport is full of the soup and sandwich places, and they're doing great, and that's grand. But if you came down, I know we've chatted before about it, and just had a slightly different idea and kind of a different twist to it, you would do so well because the amount of people that are coming down from Dublin as well.
Exactly.
From Cork and from England and everywhere.
From international, from all over the world. Sure, during the summer, because that's where, you know, Crowpatrick is, and people go climbing the Reek. Then you have your Sea to Summit.
Yeah.
You have all these big events. And Westport, if you ask anyone from Dublin about Mayo, I'd say 90% of them will say, oh, I was down in Westport there for a stag, or we've a holiday home there, or whatever. It's
Stag and Hen Central.
It's the place you need to be. Like in Crossminder, they've opened like a lovely coffee shop there recently, right? The old post office coffee shop, and it's lovely, and it'll do quite well and all that. But maybe for me, if you want to maybe make a bit of money and, you know, have more of a flow of people from outside the town, the likes of Westport, Castlebar too. But I just think Westport has a nicer kind of a touch to it.
Sorry,
you know,
not Castlebar.
No, but I mean,
I love Castlebar. My family are from Castlebar, but Castlebar. They're not putting enough money into it or something like that. They're not advertising it well.
They're not pulling together.
They're not, because Westport is just killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's busloads of people from Castlebar. So Castlebar is about 20 minutes. So it's Lewsburg, Westport, Castlebar. And it's about 20 minutes from each other. And there's 50-seater buses coming from Castlebar to Westport every single Friday and Saturday
night. They want to get out of it.
Horsing people into
just
Westport.
Getting them out of there.
So we're coming from the west into Westport. They're coming from the east into Westport. And everyone is just in Westport.
You've got to go to Westport.
That's the place, yeah. That's only a notion I have. It's not something I may do, but I mean, it's something I'd be good at.
Do you have a deadline?
I'm home in a few weeks and I've no job, so the deadline's getting sooner all the time. You know, the new year now, the 1st of January, I'll put a shape in myself, you know, and then... No, but I have a mate of mine who works in recruitment. Dermot Farrell, we'll give him a shout out too.
Super Jim.
He's in recruitment. I sent him on a CV in a few bits, so he's making that look sexy for me, so I can apply to a few different places.
Stuart, I think we're going to wrap it up there. We've had 46 minutes.
Jesus
trying to
Christ,
understand
46 minutes.
Trying to understand your life. Can we just say, I think, speak for Nathan as well, we're both going to miss you
so much.
Hell of a lot every single morning, just before 7 o'clock, making our coffees, Nathan putting his porridge in the bin. It's been a pleasure to get to know you.
I'm never going
to
do it now because, Stu,
about it.
We have to say you've been like an older brother here.
I think that's
the sort of relationship.
Well, I am older, so
we
have. Can't deny it. I'm grey hairs.
You were great.
And you're a brother. So.
And you were even fantastic with myself when I went through a bad relationship breakup. Gave good wisdom.
An older head, you know, I'd have heard a lot of stories over the years and have mates in the pub and all that. But, look, lads, the last word... All right, it's going to go to me. It's as simple as this.
I do want to say before
it
goes to
Stu. Say something really quickly and then
I just
want to
say we will contact Stu over the phone here for the podcast just to see how you're getting on. I want to do that.
You wouldn't have a yarl.
Hello, Stu!
But you got to let us know if you're doing well first.
Hello, Stu. He fell out today.
I'm on my own for 6 years.
Hang up, Graham. Hang up. You're scaring me.
I'd be a cat man.
Oh, we will do them.
And I would like an invite to your cafe it happens.
Oh, yeah. You'll be there.
You put your head to getting into radio and you got on the biggest breakfast show in the country and now you're going to get your head into getting that cafe in Westport.
You will do
exactly, yeah. You can do an OB from it sometime.
I'd love to do that.
Get the farmer down too.
I'll take a coffee that tastes like shite.
I hate that place. But look, lads, it's been a privilege, honestly. The last few years, getting to know ye, and ye won Best Radio. I know you said it to your listeners, but Best Radio Breakfast Show in Ireland, which I know you might, you know, I know you know what it is, but just give yourselves time sometimes to sit down and think, that's fucking massive, massive to win something like that. So, you know, give yourselves a pat on the back for that. But outside of the radio, two sound lads. Love your company. You're, you know, good mates of mine. I'll always be there if you ever want to give me a call or anything like
that. This is one of my favourite episodes.
This has been fantastic.
You said, at the end of every episode, this is one of my favourite episodes.
No, hasn't Stu been so good? Because I'll be honest, Graham, it was Graham's idea that went,
I know.
We need to get Stu on. And sometimes we get guests on this podcast and you can see they're very nervous because it's a different sort of atmosphere and you don't know how they're going to deliver because you know they're great outside of the studio, but maybe it just doesn't come across on the podcast. But you, just from the get-go in this episode, I was like, Jesus Christ.
I say this the less we've spoken, I'm delighted.
Yeah, you're so
just
open, honest, and I know you listening, you're thinking, fuck, Stu is great and I want to know how he gets on.
And
maybe,
we will find
maybe
out.
Maybe they do. And lads, look, it's like this. We're just all in this together.
Let's end on a song.
Three good friends. What song do we finish on? And oh, sorry, listeners, if I bored you with anything about the grown up chat, you know, maybe you wanted a bit more Love Island or Kardashians.
You and me got a whole lot of history.
Oh, Jesus Christ, not finishing on that.
Sorry, what's a good song to? Baby, if you have to go away, don't think I can take the pain. Won't you stay another day?
Stay now, stay now, stay now. Stuart Griffin, thank you and goodbye.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.